Extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Welcome back to Sunday Vibes Extra Time, everybody. Today, it's me, Zach Jellub, Joe Tomlinson.
Hello!
Patrick Van Straten.
Hey.
And we're going to be talking about players who are out of contract this summer. Joe Tomlinson, kick it off.
Right, I'm going to kick off with the biggest name on the free transfer list, or at least the best player, in my opinion, on the free transfer list. He's an ideal candidate for pretty much every top team in the world. He profiles really nicely. He's of a good age. Of course, it's the shithead that is Adrian Rabiot. Ooh. Obviously, everybody knows the story of Adrian Rabiot pretty closely. If you don't, I will just quickly recap it. He has been frozen out by PSG since late 2018 after refusing to sign a contract. The directors of the club, not particularly happy with him. Thomas Tuchel, not particularly happy with him. He was then further banned by the club until late March after being photographed in a nightclub after a game and for liking a host, in particular Patrice Evra's video, celebrating when Manchester United scored that winner, Marcus Rashford's penalty against PSG. He also refused to travel to Qatar for the club's mid-season training camp.
Right. We know he's a bit of a shithouse.
That's fair enough.
Yeah,
No one wants to go to Qatar.
They do and they don't. But equally,
they got money to be laundered.
Oh my god. Equally, his mum is saying that he's being held hostage by the club. Now,
his mum has a history of saying absolute fucking nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, his mum is a problem.
Yeah.
Did he sack her? I thought he sacked her.
Well, now there are controversial reports around the mother issue. The name is Veronica. Or Veronique.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Veronique.
Veronique. I'm going to call her Veronica for the purposes of comedy.
Okay.
She is notoriously difficult to deal with. So she represents her young son, Adrian. And since the age of about 11, has been an issue for a lot of clubs. I mean, he played for 6 different sides at youth level. He was pulled out of the Manchester City Academy by big Veronica at just 13. Because she didn't think he was getting enough game time. He obviously went on to join PSG and actually became the club's youngest ever Ligue 1 debutant and Champions League debutant. I don't know whether that record still stands, but at the time, he was. Eventually, after Veronica battled and toiled away for a young boy, he got some game time at PSG. And you know, not a bad player.
Yeah, not bad.
He's all right.
Not too bad. Obviously, breakthrough season, sort of 13, 14. But in 2014, at the end of that season, he was very close to leaving. He actually agreed a contract with Roma. But at the last minute, big Veronica stepped in. She went, no. You know what? We're just using that to get a better deal out of PSG. And he ended up staying at PSG. I'm pretty sure Roma will be devastated that that transfer never went through. And the rumours since then have never really stopped. And obviously, since he's been, quote, held hostage by PSG, they've kicked into overdrive. And a lot of people are thinking, and I've been asked on Twitter a lot, I'm sure everybody at this table has, where do you think he's going to go? Well,
literally, on a cliff.
In January, he was the subject of a €40 million bid by Barcelona.
It's too low, though.
No, it isn't.
Not
if he's going on a free.
They banned him for the season because
he's a shithead. He's going on a free in the summer. Is it below his market value? Yes, but I can't remember the last time that a player this good was going on a free.
I feel like PSG are just trying to make a stance with him and show, look, no matter what happens here,
yeah, it's crazy.
We're the ones in power.
Which is exactly why they rejected the bid. But that's exactly why they rejected the bid. You know, I think they basically said, out of a matter of principle, we're going to make you rot in the reserves for 6 months. And I kind of respect the shit out of it, to be totally honest.
Because
they
don't need the money, do they? They don't need the money.
But at the same time, don't play a player.
They do need the money though, for FFP reasons. They do need the money.
But
to
don't
extent.
Try and shit house Adrian Rabiot because he's better at it than you. He's more of a bitch than you.
And Veronica,
he's a messy bitch.
Yeah. But ever since that January bid being rejected, there has been a lot in the news about where he's going. In February, both Mundo Deportivo and L'Equipe ran front pages saying that Barcelona had officially agreed a Rabiot deal. Yeah, they were claiming it was going to be paid of €10 million per season in wages, plus a €10 million signing on bonus, and that had been wrapped up. Barcelona even released a public statement. saying they have an intent to sign him, but there was no tapping up. There has been no tapping up, and we are definitely interested in the player.
It doesn't count as tapping up, though, does it, past the January?
I don't think
Yeah, because then you've got to
I think their official statement was released in January.
Okay.
I think
okay.
they basically said, we really like this player,
but we're super respectful
for PSG at this moment.
Even though they fucked us several times previously.
Exactly. Later in the month, Bild and L'Equipe then released an article. They say Bayern are now in talks with Adrian Rabiot and his entourage because the Barcelona move has collapsed. Apparently, Barcelona's move collapsed after the signing was announced of Frenkie de Jong in that position for a large chunk, and they opted to use wages in other areas. It's pretty well known that they're going to have to sell a few assets this summer in order to recoup some money. And I think, basically, they didn't want to pay the €10 million signing bonus to get Rabiot through the door along with his chunky wages. And they're also getting a little bit nervous about the chat that Bayern were interested. So they either wanted to get it done at a cheaper price, and Rabiot was like, I'm not doing it at that price. It seems like the Barcelona move collapsed. So we're in February, late February. Bayern are now the front runners. We get to early March. Dimarzio report, Juventus are eyeing up a move to rival.
I missed this whole move.
Bayern Munich. Juventus actually, back in 2014, you might remember I just said then about him agreeing a contract to Roma, were extremely close to signing him from PSG. So they've got a long-standing interest in the player. Dimarzio says they're definitely interested, but they're not willing to meet the massive wages that he wants. At the moment, Bayern and Juve, neck and neck. We get to March. Within the last week, in fact, when Canal Plus and Marca both report that Madrid have verbally agreed a Rabiot deal. God. They claim that both the Bayern and the Juve deals collapsed after they refused to buckle to his huge wage demands that 10 million. They're basically looking, Veronica's looking for €10 million a year. That's in the ballpark. Sure. And she's looking for about 10 to €20 million in a signing fee.
But with no transfer fee, I don't think that's bad.
I don't think that's too bad either, man. I actually don't think that's too bad either. But equally, Bayern and Juventus apparently do. Barcelona also got a bit nervous about it. And now Madrid are the front runners. Apparently they have agreed a Rabiot deal. Zinedine Zidane has come to a verbal agreement with Big Veronica. Whether or not that is true remains to be seen.
Literally worth nothing.
Yeah. Exactly, because also in the last few days, I've read articles where Manchester United have been heavily linked, where Liverpool have been heavily linked, where Tottenham have been heavily linked, where Arsenal and Manchester City have been heavily linked.
Okay.
So you're pretty much looking at every major club in the world after Adrian Rabiot. No,
God.
And from what I can judge from these, the amount of headlines, the amount of chatter, nobody has a fucking clue where he's going. It's all guesswork. It's all headlines to sell papers at the moment. That's pretty much what I can ascertain from the situation.
I think it also shows that he's actually an even bigger dick than I thought he was. Because if he's not a massive dick, there's no way in hell that a player this good gets to this point in his final season contracted at PSG without a contract somewhere else. That is literally impossible. Like, how has a club not snapped him up?
Yes.
Like, even a smaller club saying, you know what, we'll take a risk on the fact that he's known to be a bit of an arsehole. Like, Hatem Ben Arfa got contracts.
Well, it's got to be.
How bad is Rabiot?
I will say, mainly because I remember Michael researching this topic, I do think there's a big thing behind the scenes where, like, his father had...
His father was very ill, and it's caused a lot of turmoil.
And he was dealing with this
scenes,
when he was, like, 16 years old. And he, like, it was all about the money so he can try and pay for his hospital stuff, etc.
That was a long time ago.
I know, but I do, like, obviously that'll stay with you. He's very much a family kind of guy. He wants to get as much money
I mean, I understand that.
Until
but there were, but there were exactly. We don't know whether Veronica's still in the picture. Mixed reports, okay? I've heard some reports that Veronica's got the boot. I've heard some reports that she's still very much by the side.
Oh,
the fact that she released a statement 2 or 3 days ago about him probably reveals to me that she's still involved in the picture in some way. And I think a lot of people at home will be asking, is he worth the hassle? Obviously, Pato's mentioned it there. He must be a nightmare behind the scenes because his numbers, I mean, they are probably the best of any central midfielder aged 23 in Europe.
Yeah, I completely agree.
He's an absolute freak. I've got some maps in front of me that you guys won't be able to see. But in terms of progressive central midfielders that can play as a deep line playmaker, as a central midfielder at like an 8, he is a freak. You know, he's averaging close to 8 progressive ball carries per 90.
What's the average?
Just ball carries in terms of dribbling.
Okay.
I mean, the average you're looking at about 4-ish, 3 to 4.
Good
Is that even the average? I think that's actually good. Like, yeah, I think players who get four are kind of like your Tongi and Ndombeles, aren't they? And like,
yeah, Mateo Kovacic, Tanguy and Ndombele in and around the four category. Fernandinho in around the four category.
He's on
eight. He's also on around six, I believe, deep progressions in terms of passes.
Wait, how is that?
That stacks up pretty well. That's more in the middle of the pack. Okay. That's more in the middle of the pack with your sort of Luka Modric's. And your Tanguy and Ndombele and your even Rakitic.
So he's just like a Modric who's twice as good at running with the ball as Ndombele.
Yes. Oh, okay. 100%. I mean, this is a guy who in the first nine games, the first nine full 90s he played this season, was averaging nearly two dribbles per game, was averaging over 6.5 tackles and interceptions per 90, was averaging over a goal in terms of expected goal build-up.
Oh my God. Jesus. So everything was going through him. Absolutely. He was winning everything.
Everything was going through him. Wins every ball back, starts every attack apparently, a consistently freakishly amazing dribbler, and still nobody wants to take a risk on him, given he is £0. What is happening to this lad? Because you go back to last season where he was actually playing a lot. Oh my God. Oh my God. He was averaging 1.2 expected goals build up per 90.
Okay, even better.
What is that? What is that? 7.5 tackles and interceptions per 90.
Pass
adjusted, obviously.
This seems like it started from when he wasn't happy with not being in the French World Cup squad.
No, I think it started before
I think,
in fairness, he should have been in the French World Cup squad.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I mean, can you imagine midfield three of Kante? I was thinking about this earlier, and I actually thought I would prefer to watch Kante, Pogba, Rabiot as a midfield three, then I would watch peak Busquets, Xavi, and Iniesta.
Oh my God. Get out.
To watch, I think, I think it's more fun.
I mean, I can see it.
It's like energetic. It's really, I don't know.
The counter attacks would be mad.
I mean,
they're good defenders, man.
I read the Deschamps quote, and the Deschamps quote was basically saying he's not mature enough to play in a France shirt. Which is interesting. I mean, interesting quote.
I do get that.
I also see his problem, though. He has arguably the biggest list of the best players in the world to pick from. Like, some of them can't make it.
I mean, he does.
Yeah, like, Ndombele didn't even play at the World Cup. Did he even go?
I don't think he went.
No, because he played Matuidi instead.
Yeah.
That was probably silly.
Didier doesn't give a fuck.
But I think we're all in agreement that this lad is probably one of the most outstanding young talents, central midfield-wise, we've seen in years. Yeah. And he can't get a contract from anyone, which worries me. But somebody's got to give it to him.
Where do you think he should go? Having looked at
obviously
numbers,
Man United.
Okay, but seriously.
Imagine Pogba and Rabiot in a central midfield.
Yeah, it'd be amazing, but do you think that would be the best move for him? Like, where do you think would be the ideal landing spot for him? Because I kind of am starting to think Fernandinho replacement.
I mean,
though Bayern also Thiago replacement.
But I do have, I wonder, my issue with the Fernandinho replacement is he too good to play in just a defensive midfield blocker?
But he doesn't. Like, Fernandinho does get the ball forward a lot. Like, last season, I think Fernandinho was
but he's not going to be carrying. Like, you don't see Fernandinho carrying the ball past
you
people.
You do.
That much.
You do. You actually do. Like, Fernandinho last year was, like, second in the league, I think, in terms of progressive passes and runs that got the ball into the final third. Mm. And most of that was passing, I'll admit. But I think that's partially because he can't run as well as he used to.
I think
Rabiot would be able to run forward more. And he is still a really good passer. A bit more one-footed, though.
True. My one concern with the Man City move is that I don't know how, maybe because of his personality, how well he fits into a Pep Guardiola as a cock.
Yeah,
I mean, because Pep just loves system players.
Remember the left hand?
And we've seen issues he's had in the past with sort of individualist stars. Although he has made it work with some, he's also not made it work with some. And he would prefer to use a sort of Bernardo Silva mold player that can fit into multiple systems and multiple positions.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've looked at it. I think if Frankie de Jong hadn't gone to Barcelona, he would have been an ideal Busquets replacement.
Sure.
But I don't really know now. I'm kind of stuck. I mean, if I was Rabiot, people will laugh at this. I think I'd have the best time at Tottenham Hotspur in a Pochettino system.
Do Tottenham afford him?
Tottenham can't afford him. He's too good for Tottenham as well.
He'll have a great time at Napoli as well.
But he would be so exciting at Tottenham under Pochettino.
Yeah, but how long is Pochettino going to be there? That's my worry.
Yeah, but Pochettino doesn't have any options at the moment. Like, if unless I were him, to Bayern. Like.
I don't know. I'd probably look at Bayern, and I'd look at the players Bayern have signed. And actually, a lot of French players Bayern have signed, like Luca Hernandez, Pavard. They've got Tolisso there. They've still got Coman. They might leave this summer.
I think my I think where he's actually going to end up is going to be Real Madrid. I think as a midfielder, under Zidane as well, that sort of French connection, I think he's going to end up at Real Madrid. But please come to Manchester United, Rabiot, because we would love to have you.
He would be
excellent alongside Paul Pogba, and then we'll somehow find a Rabiot, a Matic replacement.
They'll have to sell Kovacic then. There's no way Kovacic goes back to that squad and gets in it with him there.
Unless they're happy to move on Kroos and Modric same time. Like,
he's been loving Dani Ceballos and stuff.
I feel like if he signs Rabiot, it would be because he's going to play Rabiot. Like, he's going to pay him a fortune. I don't know. I could see Rabiot and Kovacic playing together if you've got Casemiro behind them. Mm, but you can't play them with Kroos or with Modric. Like, they're trying to do the same thing. Same thing at Barcelona. Like, if I was Barcelona, I think I probably would have signed Rabiot and been like, how we make this work is an issue we'll deal with later.
Yeah.
However, there he would have been playing as a really defensive midfielder, because you don't have otherwise. You can't have Frankie De Jong and Rabiot both carrying the ball forward. No. You can't. And Rabiot can play as a DM, and Frankie, I don't think, really can. And then, I mean, what happens to Arthur? Arthur's not a DM either. He's a passer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really
know.
It
gets a bit messy there. Equally, I mean, I don't know why PSG are letting him go. I understand the options that PSG have got and that they've had problems with him off the field. But their two best central midfielders, arguably, are away from the club at the moment. You could argue that Lo Celso and Rabiot are the two best midfielders they've got. So, if both of them leave in the summer, it does lead me to question what Tuchel's thinking. I get that the decision probably isn't his now. It's out of hands. But equally, surely if you're PSG, you do what you can to keep Rabiot.
But I think they have. Or I think Lo Celso, they've done all they can.
Yeah, I think with Rabiot, they've just had enough. Well, I'd keep Lo Celso, though, definitely.
Yeah. Either way, though, I would like Rabiot to come to Manchester United, please, because I think you are the best under-24 midfielder in the world.
I'd like to know what the fans
think.
Maybe
alongside Frankie.
Yeah.
Get the fans to tweet us.
Yeah,
let us
know what you think of Adrian Rabiot and where he's going to go. Send us it on Twitter. Pato, you're up. Who are you bringing to the table?
I've gone for the other end of the kind of fame spectrum. No, I've gone for someone who's great, actually, but no one has heard of him. Mm. So he's called Enoch Quateng, and he's a right-back who plays for Nantes in Ligue 1.
Enoch. And I like the name already.
Same. Yeah. He's 21.
Jeez.
And he won the European Under-19 Championships in 2016 with France.
Okay.
With a pretty exciting French
side. Another French boy, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Nantes are in 15th in Ligue 1, but their defensive numbers are pretty much identical to Nice's and Monaco's, so they're not bad at all. Now, Enoch Quateng, he came through their academy, and this is his first full season where he's pretty much played every game. Like I said, 21 years old, averaging 6.6 tackles and interceptions per 90 minutes. Which is obscene.
What?
And in Europe's top five leagues for interceptions, and I like interceptions because I feel like pretty much anyone can make a tackle.
Mm.
Like,
to varying degrees of success.
Yeah, that's what I think. And he is top of Europe's top five leagues for interceptions.
Fair
top.
Play.
Top of
Head
everyone.
Of Aaron Wan.
Top of everyone.
Wow.
3.5 interceptions a game.
That's crazy.
More interceptions than tackles this guy makes. He's also 6 foot tall, which I quite like in a fullback. Yeah.
You do like a tall fullback, don't you?
Well, I just think that it solves problems. You know, like, if you have a fullback who's like 5'7 or whatever, then you do have to have really aerially dominant central defenders and maybe a defensive midfielder who's tall as well. Like, these days, I just think we have players were starting to get shorter again when Spain were the dominant power in world football. And now I feel like we're seeing that you can have all the Spanish technique in a much larger human being. So you get guys like Frankie de Jong and Paul Pogba and Adrian Rabiot, actually 6'3". Like, these guys who are really big and tall, but also have all the technique that we associate with Iniesta and Xavi. So, I do like that. And he wins about 62% of his aerial duels, which is like centre-back numbers.
Yeah,
one dribble a game, one chance created. Not amazing, but I think that if he played in a more attacking side, I think his side have scored something like 31 goals in 30 games this season. So it's kind of understandable that he's not necessarily getting a whole bunch of assists. But he is also, I would say, probably best for a club who have a really strong attacking left back, because then you can balance it out with a really defensive guy who could pretty much slot into the back three because he is tall. His passing doesn't look amazing on the face of it. He's got about 70% accuracy. But when you watch him, you see why that is. It's because he's constantly attempting quite difficult passes into the half space. And when they come off, they're really, really dangerous. When they don't come off, nothing that bad happens because he wins the ball back almost yeah. immediately. So I think that he's actually, for a guy who's in his first full season, looks like one of the better right backs in Ligue 1. I think fullbacks historically translate out of Ligue 1 pretty well.
Yeah.
So I think that he can probably aim higher than the clubs that are currently looking at him, which are like Watford, Southampton. And I think... I think he should look at Arsenal or Spurs. I think that's who should go for him. Arsenal got Bellerin out to at least October. Bellerin is a pace player who is probably not going to have quite the same pace when he comes back. He's had a succession of injuries since he broke into the Arsenal first team, and this is a serious one. It's a ligament injury to his knee. That is a real problem. And when he comes back, it's also... when he comes back from injury, it's then going to take him a month or two to get back to match fitness. And Arsenal playing Ainsley Maitland-Niles there at the moment, who I really like, but he's a midfielder. Lichtsteiner is going to go because he's terrible. Chambers, I think, will probably sell. Or if we keep him, we'll play him as a centre-back.
I think you sell him.
Not, we should sell him. It's time that he was sold. I think also we might promote Bielik to the first team. So while he hasn't got the attacking skill of Bellerin, because Bellerin's got 5 assists and has not played half the season, and Quatting's got 1, I think that probably would improve in a more attacking side. And defensively, just having a lockdown fullback. Like, yes, he's not Aaron Wan-Bissaka, but he's a really good defender. He's quick, he's good in the air, and he's going to cost absolutely nothing. He's going to cover you until Bellerin's back and then give Bellerin competition for the next several years. Like, when you consider the other things we're hearing from Arsenal, like Raphael is going on a free this summer, or maybe they'll go to the Championship and take a gamble on Max Ahrens, who looks like a very good player, but he's not even the best young... he's not even the best 19-year-old English right-back in the Championship this season, which is Reece James. Like, so I just kind of think... you're signing a player who already looks like a good defender and has got 2 to 3 years before he hits his peak. So he's going to end up at least a competent player. Worst case scenario, you sell him back to Ligue 1. So I think that Quateng actually...
how old is he?
21.
Bloody
he
hell.
Might, or he might turn 22 next month.
Okay.
But yeah, very, very young. Clearly ready to go. I think that this is actually a really exciting player, and I'm not sure why I'm not hearing bigger rumours about him, because it's zero risk.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't a Spurs thinking... okay, Aurier, we don't seem to really play him that much. Trippier really works as a kind of right wing back and is very slow, not very good defensively. He's just a good attacking player. Why don't we get this guy in? Like, I'm not sure why you wouldn't take a gamble.
So, well, for them, I'm presuming that they have no plans to sell Serge Aurier and Kieran Trippier and believe that those two are more than adequate in that right back slot.
That's fine. If
I think there's better. I think that like a more likely club could potentially be someone like a Liverpool. I think James Milner. I'm going to talk about James Milner potentially being moved on in the summer. But I think they need right back cover for Trent Alexander-Arnold. Yeah. Nathaniel Klein's not going to come back from Bournemouth. It doesn't look like he's going to probably stay down there and agree a permanent move. But if this lad can come in and fill in for Trent, because Trent at the moment is just playing so many games at such a young age.
You want to burn him out.
My only issue is I actually think it's a harder sell for Liverpool to bring him in than it is for Arsenal. Like, yes, he's obviously going to have more of a chance of winning trophies at Liverpool, but they've got a fully fit 19-year-old fullback who's going to be there for the next 10 years. Bellerin is a little bit older and has injury problems. And you say to Quateng, you're going to come in and you're going to start this season pretty much. Like, if you look as good in training as we think you are going to start for like the first probably half of the season. So you have a shot at keeping your place. Whereas with Liverpool, even if Quateng ended up being like a tiny, tiny bit better than Trent Alexander-Arnold, TAA is going to play because he's a local kid. And to be honest, he's not going to be better than Trent Alexander-Arnold because he's amazing. But I just think that, yeah, from that point of view, would I want to go somewhere where I could win trophies but as a backup? Or would I want to have a chance at establishing myself as a first choice fullback for a club that's competing to be in the Champions League? I'd probably go for that second
one. Do you take the leap outside of France, though? Or do you, like, if I was this young lad, I would be thinking more of like a Lyon or like a Marseille.
I think Lyon will probably be interested in if Raphael
moves on.
And Kenny Tete, I think, has been out injured like for a bunch of the season. I think that clubs like Roma are teams that you expect to look at them, like clubs who are kind of used to... You know what? Actually, now Monchi's back at Sevilla, I could totally see Sevilla going in for him. But I think that actually players grow up in Ligue 1 knowing that they'll have to move abroad at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, so I don't think that moving abroad is such a big leap. It's in the same way that often, you know, Brazilian players are more willing to go to Russia or China. I think it's because they knew they'd have to leave South America, and then from there to leave Europe doesn't feel like a big deal. So maybe if he is an ambitious player, then I think he'll probably be perfectly happy to take the leap. And it's not like it's that far to the UK.
True.
Or Germany. Fair.
Jalab, who are you bringing to the table?
Well, we've gone from a youngster to someone who is getting very old. Juan Mata, who turns 31 years old this month.
That's younger than I thought.
Mate, I thought he was like 34.
Yeah.
He moves like a 40-year-old.
I was going to talk about Giroud later. Giroud turns 33 in September. So.
Oh, well, doesn't look it though at all. I mean, Mata has
had... Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Olivier does not look 33.
Yeah, he does. 33 is not that old. He doesn't look like an old footballer, but 33 in real life is not old.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Does he look Dave Jackson's age? I don't know.
Fair.
That's a very good point. Now, Mata has had a great career, to be honest. He joined United for £37 million. I actually think that was... He's done a decent job since he's moved there. However, he's currently earning £140,000 a week.
Yikes.
He's the sixth best paid player at United.
Yeah.
So there are issues there.
This is such United stuff.
But there are reports he has been offered a new contract from Manchester United, but he's taking his time to
look
over
it. How long a contract?
I think it's a year, and I think it's a very significant drop in wages, which is the reason that he's not taking it.
Yeah, especially when he's got other teams in Spain who are battling for the Champions League place, looking at him, like Getafe, Sevilla, Valencia and Deportivo as well. So I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing in the world. I think a move to Valencia...
Did you say Deportivo? Didn't Deportivo get relegated?
No, Deportivo Alaves.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I thought you should have been more specific.
Yeah, he probably won't go there either.
But I think for him, especially in his last couple of years, he wants to start playing more minutes. He's only had 1,300 roughly this season, which is equivalent to about 14 games, and has 4 goals and 2 assists within that. So that's not too bad. XG does suggest
set
he should
pieces.
Have another one. True, but he also in his time at Man United as well scored some very crucial goals. I think about the one against Liverpool, in particular,
the Juve free kick.
The Juve free kick.
Earlier this season.
So he's still got
meaningful
to
a level, aren't they? Yeah. They are meaningful to a level in the moment.
He's just a reliable bloke.
Yeah, and he's not. He's never had to rely on his pace. So to be honest, his age going up doesn't necessarily matter too much.
I know what you mean. Like,
apart from,
I mean, I would argue against that to a level, though.
Okay.
I think as somebody who watches Manchester United pretty much every week, there was a time when Wan Mata could pick up half spaces and roll really quickly and dart a ball off.
He had great acceleration.
But what he's lost now is he still finds those half spaces, but he takes an extra touch in the turn, and he's just not physically there.
Okay.
He's getting brushed aside by 19-year-olds in the Premier League.
Well, that's fair enough. Mm. As we said, he's getting on now. But his creative numbers are still solid. He's doing 2 key passes a game, per 90, completing 1 dribble and taking 1.8 shots per 90. So still solid enough.
Okay.
And defensively, he's never really been a defensive player, so it doesn't matter.
No, but this is another problem with him playing at Manchester United, is that what Solskjaer is asking from players in the press is more than what Mata can provide.
100%.
Yeah. And a few of the teams that he's been linked with, I think, are too advanced in terms of their press for him to represent them.
And he's also just a type that's disappearing.
Yeah.
Like, the actual 10 is disappearing. Like, if you're a 10 now, you need to also be able to play in a midfield 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he just can't do that. Doesn't have the legs anymore.
Well, either a midfield 3 or a wide winger.
Well, this was my issue when I was looking at him for where he goes next. Because every club do not need him at all. Valencia, the dream one, where he can go back to his old school club, they have no need for him. They play 4-4-2 now. And unless he's going to be playing on the right wing, where he can't, it's not possible. I also looked at Sevilla, who play 4-4-2, but can also sometimes play 4-4-1-1, and he could play just behind the striker, but he would have to displace Munir.
And also, it's not a Mochy signing.
It's not a Mochy signing at all.
No. And they've got Sarabia.
So... Yeah, they've got Sarabia. So I was kind of then looking maybe a bit lower down at someone like Real Betis, who aren't at the top chasing for the Champions League, but still are in the mix of it. They're 6 points off of a CL spot. But again, they just don't need him. Mata's wages will be way too much. The most they pay is to Mark Bartra, and that's €33,000 a week.
And if you're betting... Sorry, guys.
That is a real problem for his future step, because every club that he hits, he's going to have to take 100K drop.
Though I feel like with Mata, more than other players, he might be willing to do that. Like, Mata is a guy who already sacrifices a lot of his salary, doesn't he?
So, I mean, there was reports when I was looking into him, it was like he stays behind after Manchester United matches whilst all the players go home and just helps clean up the changing rooms.
He's honestly like a dream guy to have at your club, except if you're paying him a lot of money and you need him to be good.
Exactly. Like, to be fair, if I was getting paid 140k a week, I'd clean my kit. It's not the worst. It's not hard.
Yeah. I also think with Betis, they're going to try and get... They're going to put that money towards... the 25 million euro clause they have on Lo Celso.
Yeah.
Unless PSG say we're going to take him back, they're going to pay that.
Exactly.
So my personal feeling is that I'd be very surprised if he doesn't end up at Barcelona.
This is the exact place where I thought he should go.
Yeah.
Barcelona,
really?
Especially recently, have been making some
very
strange
close.
Signings.
Very
we talk
close
about Paulinho.
To agreeing to deal with him.
We talk about Boateng. Boateng has played under two games this season since he joined Barcelona.
Wow, what a surprise that is.
What was the point? What
almost
was the point?
Like moving cash
but I feel like we call this every time and it doesn't even take any insight. Like when Malcolm went, we were like, is Malcolm going to play?
Yeah.
No.
But this is it. Mata, I think he will be on the bench and I say and if, you know, extremely important here, if they sell Coutinho, Mata is not the worst person to bring off the bench. For
it
more
is.
Creativity.
It's just a pointless move. It's another pointless move. It's so unprogressive.
He is, because where does Coutinho play? Coutinho at Barcelona, he covers you on the left wing if you need cover there. He could play in a midfield three if you need cover there. He could play as a 10 if you need cover there. Yeah. You know what Mata can do? I genuinely don't know.
It's
he
just
can play
a
in a 10 with loads of runners around him who are going to do the defensive work for him.
And arguably they have that. They've still got Malcolm who can play in the wing.
Right. He's definitely going to be sold.
But
this
is it. Where I was looking at Mata and it was just like, there's nowhere for him.
I think the
unless
other options,
he's willing to drop
the other options are is that he ends up at a team like Marseille who can pay a little bit more, probably upwards of 50, looking at maybe like 50 to 75,000 a week for a slightly more luxury option, or he has to just bite the bullet at 31 and go, okay, I'm going to take a massive wage cut and go and play at a low-end Premier League, a mid-table Premier League club.
So you probably still get decent money at a Premier League club.
Yeah, man. Like, if you went and went to an Everton or somewhere like that, and did they end up bringing Bernard in on a permanent? Was it a free transfer last season?
Yeah, it was a free.
Or a club like Everton, who are going to give him 30k a week, they might have to just do it.
But they've paid. But Gylfi's like their most used outfield player this season.
Yeah, but Wan knows now he's not going to be playing 2,000 minutes of Premier League football. He's not going to get 2,000 minutes of Premier League football. The only place he's going to get over 2,000 minutes of football is the MLS.
You know where he should go?
It's not even the worst shout. The MLS.
He should go to the Eredivisie. He should go to the Eredivisie.
He can't afford him, man.
He wouldn't. I just think for him personally, if you're 31 years old now, you just want to be in the places where you're going to be comfortable, which is either England or Spain. You don't want to have to learn
options.
A new language.
It really
et cetera,
is limited options. I don't know where he's going to end up. Well, Matt, I've actually got no options in my
this
head.
Is a weird
it's
one.
Harsh, especially for such a player where it's just like. You just want a nice ending career for him. Go back to Valencia.
I hope he ends up at like Barcelona, man, and he just takes a big chunk of wins two seasons and sits on
wins
the bench.
Wins everything.
Yeah, that'd be class well, man.
Deserves it. All right, Thomason.
I'm also bringing an aging player in the twilight of his career to the table next up. I'm bringing James Milner.
Okay.
Now, he is 33 years old, but he's still, unlike Juan Mata, getting massive minutes. 2,500 minutes so far this season. 36 Jesus. Appearances for Liverpool across. Obviously, a range of positions, left-back, centre-mid, right-back. But there is... I will put a little caveat on this one. There is a lot of confusion over whether or not he is out of contract.
Okay.
Transfermarkt and a lot of sources have it running out in 2019, which is obviously this summer. James Pearce, though, I think he works for the Liverpool Echo, an extremely reliable source within Liverpool, says it's actually 2020.
Okay.
So there is no real urgency from within the club to renew it because he is approaching the end of his career and they'd happily let him move on in 2020 for a free. Nevertheless, I'm going to treat this like it is up this summer because ultimately I think Liverpool are a little bit nervous that they're going to have a repeat of Emre Can. Obviously, Emre Can was a different profile player, a lot younger, and they were losing him on a free to another European super club, whereas James Milner, this is not going to happen, is it? But he has still been good for Liverpool this season.
Very.
You know, nearly 3.5 tackles and interceptions, 2 key passes per 90, over 7 deep progressions. And what I would say is he offers insanely good versatility and cover for Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
He offers cover at left back when Moreno's been a shithouse. He offers cover at right back when Trent Alexander-Arnold's picked up injuries. He allows him to let Nathaniel Clyne go on loan to Bournemouth to either progress his career or come back a better player. He has even been excellent in central midfield.
Yeah.
At times, he's been their best central... At the start of the season, he was their best centre mid alongside Gini Wijnaldum.
And he's been selected, like, He's been a starter in big games.
Massive games. You know, 36 appearances for a 33-year-old in a title-challenging side that's going to finish on plus 90 points is no mean feat.
Yeah.
And he isn't fatiguing. It doesn't look like he's fatiguing. I watched the videos of him at pre-season doing laps. Liverpool do this drill where who can just run the most laps around the pitch. And
that sounds fucking boring.
It does sound boring, but obviously it's a fitness exercise. Milner's a freak. Naby Keita stopped about 25 laps before Milner. Stopped there, just jaws on the floor, watching Milner.
He beat Trent, didn't he?
Yeah, he finishes the number one in the whole club.
How many did he do?
I dread to think. At the end of it, he's just...
Pitch is big.
He's a freak, mate.
He must complete the bleep test.
Definitely. He's a freak. He's like a Terminator. He's running around like a robot. But you could still make arguments, despite what I've just said, that Liverpool wouldn't actually miss him.
Okay.
I think they've got enough central midfield cover that they wouldn't miss him in that area. The one problem they have is the fullback cover. If they can sign sufficient fullback cover, I think they'll be happy to let James Milner go without renewing his contract.
Left back, right back.
Yeah.
So in order to cover this one guy,
you need left back.
Left back and right back, and maybe another midfielder. Maybe.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to bring in another sort of attacking midfield option anyway this season.
And the Ox will come back as well.
Which brings them up to five genuine central midfielders, with the option of a sixth if you include Amin Lallana in that list, which he kind of can play as a midfield three, but prefers to play as an advanced 10, doesn't he? So if they do sign a fullback that can cover both sides or somebody of that ilk, then they might well happily let him go, because some of their other midfield numbers have been pretty impressive. You know, Fabinho has been a tackle leader across the Premier League, really, since he's
finally
found his
squad.
Feet. Because it took him a few months, didn't it, to find his feet. But, you know, nearly five tackles and interceptions, over 7.5 deep progressions. Naby Keita, who has experienced a slower start than I think we thought.
Yeah, sure.
He's not hit the ground running as well as we hoped he would, but he is starting to find his feet. I think the trouble is he's also been matched up against Genie Wijnaldum, who has had the season of his life, which hasn't helped. Genie Wijnaldum's not even ripped up tree. He's not been incredible, but he's been hard to move because he's so consistent.
Genie Wijnaldum, the thing about Genie Wijnaldum is, like, what's good about him does not come out in stats.
Yeah.
He's the rare player where stats don't actually do much for him at all. He doesn't have great defensive numbers, they're okay. He doesn't have great creative numbers, they're okay.
Average,
he
doesn't have good passing numbers at all. 0.8 key passes.
It's just like, they're just nothing. But he does have a tendency to be in the right place and put pressure on other
In particularly
pitch,
scoring big goals as well, like That's match-winning true. Goals, which is good for Genie Wijnaldum. And obviously Hendo, who defensively still a little bit suspect, but still throwing up 1.3 key passes. Per 90, which is across his career, he's been really strong in terms of key passes, and I think that's maybe a little bit underrated for Hendo. And obviously, the Ox is going to come back and provide some great numbers. You know what we saw in his final season before that, obviously horrific knee injury against Man City. He was probably their best central midfielder.
He was amazing.
He was so
amazing. So he will come back and offer loads. So arguably, they won't miss him if they do bring Ox back successfully. Lallana is replaced. Potentially might end up happening if they do go for another Fakir-type player and they sign fullback cover. Okay. The trouble is, you're then looking at 2 to 3 signings to cover a 34-year-old James Milner who's at the club and probably will sign any contract you put in front of him.
God.
So why move him on? You don't need to. I would keep James Milner and I would just give him a continuous renewal until his leg fell off.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But if he is to leave, where would he go? I've highlighted Leeds United as a potential option.
If they come up,
obviously. They're not going to be able to afford him if they stay in the Championship. I think as a Yorkshire boy, I think he'd be happy to go back to his boyhood club. I don't think he's the sort of player that's going to go in and go, I want 100 grand a week because I'm not coming back to you. He'd probably go in there for a tuppence. Do you know what I mean? A tuppence and a pie. But equally, would he fit in Bielsa's 4-1-4-1 at Leeds? I don't think he would.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I feel like Bielsa would love James.
Bielsa would love him, but would he be able to keep up with the intensity of the Bielsa press?
I mean, he's a fit.
He's pretty fit.
Yeah, he's a fit guy.
He's a fit guy. Is he good enough on the ball?
He's a pretty good progressive passer.
I think what he would bring is like a good, solid Premier League head. some experience into the dressing room. Because let's be honest, Bielsa has gone debut mad this season. Up until January the 31st, he was averaging an under 22 debut for Leeds every 3 games. Absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, there are a lot of games in the championship.
12 under 22 debuts he's put in before
Fair
January 30th.
Absolutely
ridiculous. That he's got an average squad age of 25, which is actually only about middling. For the championship.
God, really?
Some really fucking young squads.
When did
the
champs suddenly get good?
I know, it's
about
crazy.
Two seasons ago.
This is a team under Bielsa that's averaged the highest average possession in the league. No real surprise. Nearly 60%. Although one game I was looking at today against Rotherham, they pulled out 74%. I don't know what Rotherham were doing.
I've heard someone say Rotherham violently.
Get someone sent off or something. How is that possible?
Sure. But I'm not sure. But obviously they also have that Bielsa press and have relied quite heavily on Hernandez, who has just been ridiculous in the championship in the twilight of his career. Obviously, the ex-Swansea player, who I think was playing out in like Qatar when they picked him up on loan and now made it permanent. But he has 23 goal contributions this season. And I saw a lot of Leeds fans on Twitter today saying that he's their best player in the last 15 years.
Bloody
which is
hell.
Concerning.
Well, so since the Kewell days.
Yes, since the Kewell and the Viduka days.
Oh
but
God.
Equally, not hard because they've probably had some shithouses in that time, isn't
state
it?
Of Leeds.
Their midfield kind of comprised of two real youngsters, Calvin the Yorkshire Pirlo Phillips, who is
a real
great
name.
Name.
A real fan favourite.
Calvin Phillips. He's like Calvin a tribute Phillips. Act to Kevin Phillips.
23-year-old defensive midfielder, Team of the Year nominee. Nice. Clear fan favourite. Everybody absolutely loves him in Leeds. 4.3 tackles and interceptions, 8 deep progressions, averaging over 70 passes per 90.
Bloody
so
hell.
An absolute linchpin at 23 for Bielsa. Tyler Roberts alongside him hasn't got as many minutes this season, but he's only 20 years old, just turned 20 as well. An attacking midfielder, over 2 shots, over 2 key passes, 7 goal contributions in 17 starts this season. And then the third midfielder, they kind of have a 4-1-4-1, but it's one DM in Calvin, Yorkshire Pirlo Phillips, and then there's two in front of them, Tyler Roberts and Click, Matthias Click, 28-year-old central midfielder, over 3.5, nearly 3,500 minutes.
Already.
16 goal involvements, which is pretty good. 8 goals, that's 8 outrageous. Assists in the championship, 2.5 key passes, nearly 3 tackles on interception. So a bit of a jack of all trades. I don't think he would start necessarily, Jimmy Milner, for Leeds. I think they would be wary about doing a Fulham Leeds as well and just going and targeting some decent players and recruiting well, but struggling to implement them into the manager's philosophy. Mm. And I think that's something we've seen of a club like Brighton as well, who've recruited arguably well, but they don't necessarily align perfectly with the manager's philosophy. And I think Bielsa would have to have the final say on whether he thought James Milner would be able to fit into his high press, high tempo, high possession pace style, which features a lot of youngsters.
I feel like Leeds are a really good candidate if they come up to go straight back down horribly. Because
all goes
because
wrong.
Well, we always say like, oh, you know, X player, of course he's having a bad season because he like played, he was in a summer competition, you know, like the World Cup or the Euros, and then he had a long season last year. If you come up from the champ, you've already had like a season and a half almost, it feels like.
Yeah.
And then you go up to a higher level, and also Bielsa season 2
equally.
Is not always
equally. I feel like Norwich, who are promoted now, are they? They're not guaranteed, they're like five points clear. They will go to straight back down. know, Teemu Pukki.
They've got talent though.
To be fair to Teemu
Wendy
Pukki,
is good.
To be fair to Teemu Pukki, could be one of the best free transfers in the championship in recent years, man.
Yeah, he's on 26 goals
26
now.
Goals, player of the
Jesus
season in the championship.
Christ.
Incredible. Will be absolute dog shit in the Premier League.
Nugent vibes. Nugent vibes. Kills it in the championship.
Sure, man.
Terrible.
Gary I mean, two of the three championship player of the year nominations were Teemu Pukki and Billy Sharp.
Yeah, Billy Sharp's got 23 goals.
So, interesting to see how he does in the Premier League. Nevertheless, I think Jimmy Milner should be getting a contract extension. And I do believe James Pearce is right there, runs out in 2020.
Mm. Okay. I've got Olivier Giroud.
What a man!
Another Audi, 33, same age as Jimmy.
He will be 33 in September. Chelsea contract expires this summer. That was a very short contract that you gave.
It was just sad. Like,
what was that
what
sign all about,
in the
man?
First place? Like, at what point did we
care.
Look at
we
it?
got Aubameyang.
Yeah,
in, so
why did
really
we look at this and go, hey, we'll take Giroud so you guys can get Aubameyang? Why don't we go, hey, we'll get Aubameyang?
Who did you have in your striking roster when you bought in Olivier?
They
Morata
sent
Batshuayi.
They sent Batshuayi to Dortmund. Dortmund sent Aubameyang to us, and we sent Giroud to Chelsea.
We got the bad end of the deal.
That what? I mean, that's a hell of a
I mean, equally, you say you got the bad end of the deal.
I'd take Aubameyang over Giroud every day of the week.
Oh, no, yeah, obviously. Yes, obviously.
And give them Misha Batshuayi.
Like, Batshuayi hardly crushed it.
He crushed it at Dortmund.
I mean, he was okay at Dortmund.
He hasn't crushed it at Chelsea.
He was really good at Dortmund. He was mad.
He was like, goals they get? Four goals? Five goals?
He got like...
Bro, he was the first Paco. He was Paco before Paco.
Relax. Paco's got like 16 goals in about 400 minutes.
Okay.
Mate, I reckon he got five Bundesliga goals.
No,
because he also got loads of assists. Him and Christian Pulisic were killing it together. Mm. Oh, maybe they're going to... I figured out how we're going to save our season next year. Pulisic and Batshuayi.
I reckon five or six goals.
In 10 appearances, he got seven.
Seven.
How many assists?
Crushed it.
I don't know. I've only got...
Crushed it.
That is good.
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
I mean, it's pretty good, yeah. But equally, it's
killing it at Palace
now.
At
no stage have I ever thought Batshuayi is going to lead the line for Chelsea.
I don't think he's going to lead the line for Chelsea either.
I don't think he'll be good enough to play for a big club.
Like, I mean,
really? I think he's going to struggle to get a renewal at Palace. I don't even think they'll be interested in him.
I think he'll cost too much, but I think Palace will be happy to keep him. He's been good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you reckon he's going to end up, Mishi?
He's going France. You know what? If I were Roma, and I'm like looking at Dzeko, and I'm like, you're 34.
That's not the worst shit.
Is he 34? He's old as fuck.
Nah, but they're gonna rely on Zaniolo, aren't they?
But Zaniolo's like an attacking mid, and I don't know. I like Zaniolo, but he's not quite. I think what
Marseille
think
third time of the day is Marseille bingo.
Well, we played for Marseille before. He's pretty good.
Back he goes. With him and Ballo up front together.
I don't know, man. Like anyway, Olivier Giroud.
Back to Giroud.
33. The good thing about that is I look at Olivier Giroud and I do not see a guy who is likely to decline that much with age. I think he's got good instincts for where to be in the box, really good at making that near post run. He's still as good in the air as he was before. He's pretty much winning the same percentage of aerial duels as he always
has. His build-up play, I think, is one of the most underrated things about him. He's so good at holding the ball. Do you think that? Yeah.
That's amazing, because I remember when he was at Arsenal, according to all Chelsea players, he was shit. Chelsea fans, he was shit. And now he's at Chelsea, they're like, you know what? He's actually amazing at build-up play.
He's fantastic. Yeah,
he was amazing at build-up play at Arsenal. Why do you think we had him in the team when he scored 14 goals a season? Because he was amazing at bringing other people into the game. He's got 2 goals, 4 assists in 7 Premier League starts this year.
Killing it in the Europa as well.
Pretty good. And across the Premier League and the Europa, he's got 17 goals and assists in 1,400 minutes. So that's one every 87 minutes, which is pretty good for a guy of his age.
And a lot of his stuff, you can't quantify in goals and assists either. Like, that's the whole reason France play him as an out-and-out 9.
He's so creative.
Still.
He's so creative.
Mate, I can't put into words how watching him play with Hazard compared to watching Higuain.
Why doesn't he play over Higuain?
Mate, this is a whole other issue when we get back onto Sarri. We get onto Sarri every time I'm on here and it's not worth it.
Okay. I mean, on the topic of Olivier Giroud playing for France, do you know how many people are above him in the all-time scoring chart?
Three.
Damn.
Crazy, and do you know how many people above him... if he wins 3 more caps, I'll put it this way. If he wins 3 more caps, he will go into their top 10 for appearances as well.
Yeah, because he is such an unselfish player and all of the other talent for France is sort of wide or a 10. Yeah.
Mm. I think... Giroud's a little bit of a difficult one to find a home for, because I think he will want more regular football, but I think he will also accept that he's not going to be the leading man given his age.
Tottenham Hotspur.
No. I did think about Tottenham. He is a better Llorente. That is he's better than Llorente at everything Llorente does. He actually is better looking. That's a good point. It's quite hard to do an upgrade.
I think it is. Eyes wise, negative.
Yeah, eyes wise, maybe not, but the rest, hair certainly, it's better. Llorente's is a mop.
Llorente, when he came on the Champions League last night, I looked at him and went, oh my God.
Yeah, but I thought that's because Llorente doesn't care. You know, it's like the person who's overeaten in a relationship because he's just been on the sideline. That's exactly what's happened at Tottenham.
I feel like Llorente's got like a real gap year vibe, you know, like somebody who like surfs all the time. True, so he's given up on life. Yeah, I don't know. I think actually West Ham would be quite good. Or in theory, could go back to Arsenal if Danny Welbeck leaves on a free. Like, getting Giroud in as a plan B is not the
worst. Forget West Ham. You know exactly who's going there. And his name begins with Danny and ends with Sturridge.
Surely they won't.
What do you mean? Of course.
But what happened last time? They bought a crocked striker off Liverpool. He's been crocked for 5 years. And again.
I'll bet you £10 right now that Danny Sturridge ends up at West Ham in the summer.
No, because I think West Ham are exactly that. But they might need more than one striker, right? Because Arnautovic, probably going to go.
Definitely.
Hernandez could well go. Carroll, definitely going to go. Yarmolenko and Perez haven't really banged. So, like, they are going to need more than one forward.
Yeah.
Otherwise, are they going to say, you know what, we'll have Danny Sturridge here next year and he's going to play 38 games?
It's going to be Danny Sturridge. Is he fucked? You know what's going to be next summer? Somebody clip this out next summer when it happens. It's going to be Danny Sturridge and Mishi Batshuayi up front.
Oh, my.
You know what? Mishi Batshuayi would be great. Mishi Batshuayi would be fantastic for West Ham.
With Danny Welbeck on the bench.
He'd be the best striker they've had at West Ham in 10 years, easily. Since I can't even think of anyone competent. Arnautovic is the only competent striker they've had in forever.
Put some fucking respect on Ricardo Vazte's name.
Oh, God. The worst player. The worst player.
What a legend.
Yeah. I mean, they're 11th for goals scored at the moment, West Ham, which is not tremendous, especially given that I think of Pellegrini as quite a good attacking coach. Like,
he's struggling, man.
He's not getting a lot out of them. I don't know, he got...
There was a
he
bit of a boost.
He wasn't struggling before. I feel like they got to safety and now it's just like everyone's down tools.
Yeah, I do to a level, but like 11th, what are they now? 11th, 12th? 11th?
They're mid-table.
They're not going to catch Wolves and Watford. They're not going to catch them.
No, of course not. They're not going to catch Leicester.
But the squad isn't worse than Watford's. Like, I feel like Pellegrini is underperformed with some of those players in that team.
But okay, but when we say, is the squad better or worse, we tend to look at who are the best players there. And we don't tend to look at the balance. So I think, like, yes, you can argue that Felipe Anderson is better than, like, any player Watford have got. But De Olofeo has been very good at Watford. And Watford have a really good defensive midfielder in Kapu. Whereas West Ham have a promising young player in Declan Rice, but he's kind of doing it all on his own in midfield. Yeah. They've got Declan Rice and then Obiang. That's their midfield.
Yeah, they struggle a little bit centrally, but I think their defensive unit is not too bad. Like, I don't... Yeah. Cresswell's all right.
Oh, he's
there.
Okay.
Does a job.
No, he's okay.
We like Issa Diop.
Yeah, Issa Diop and Balbuena, I think. Yeah. Fabianski's really good.
Fabianski's had a hell of a season. Ryan Fredericks pretty strong as a defensive unit. And obviously going forward, Arnautovic has talent, but it's
a bit of a notorious
clown. I
feel they're very singular players, though. A lot of players in their squad are very singular players and individuals. Watford play very well as a team. Felipe Anderson, I feel so bad for him sometimes when he's on there. And he feels like he's trying, basically putting West Ham on his back and trying. Why are they still playing Mark Noble?
Okay, well, Mark Noble had a good start to see, but I think Lanzini coming back into fitness will help Anderson out a bit.
Yeah.
So I think Lanzini comes back, I would probably...
My problem
I'd
with
in a winger
is,
and a
is that... Do I ever see them challenging sort of 7th and 8th under Pellegrini?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
I think with the right signings, I think if they got a really good centre-forward, a young, good centre-forward, I think if they got another winger and they got just an outstanding kind of central midfield destroyer to play alongside
centre-mid
Rice...
Centre-mid is their big problem, isn't
it? I think they'd actually have a really strong 11. I really do.
Adrian Rabiot, mate.
Yeah, Adrian Rabiot. See if he wants to come and live in London. But I mean, that's kind of a factor with Giroud, I think. I think Giroud wants to stay in London.
Yes, that's why he moved to Chelsea and didn't go to Dortmund in the first place. Is because he wanted to stay in London.
So why don't West Ham sign Giroud? Is that what you're putting forward?
Yeah, I think it'd be quite good. I think my only issue is whether he could get a longer contract if he went back to France. I could see a French club saying, we'll give you lower wages, but we'll give you like a 3-year contract, like Marseille or something.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas I think that West Ham, I think if you're in the Premier League, they'll probably say, we'll give you a 1-year contract with an option for a second. And if I'm Olivier Giroud, I'd probably think, nah, I can do better than that.
I kind of mean,
because even now, like, in terms of Chelsea...
Have a think. And I think Chelsea might as well extend him as well.
Give him another year. Because right now, we've got Tammy Abraham.
You've got to, haven't you? Because now the transfer ban's kicked in. You've got to extend him.
Yeah.
You've got to extend every single player now.
That's pretty much true, because otherwise, your forward line next year, you might as well have as many options as possible.
Yeah, 100%.
So you've got... Your forward line next year is going to be Tammy,
Batshuayi, Higuain, because I think Higuain actually came out as well in an interview.
He said he wanted to stay.
He wants to stay.
He don't know the Higuain.
Batshuayi's
not
gonna be there. Not
believe that Higuain knows the contractual situation that he's in well enough to be able to say that. Is
he
actually legally allowed to stay?
I think so.
But this
he's already registered there.
Yeah.
And a ban is a ban on player
registration.
Was it? It's 6 months with an option to extend.
This is it.
Because you can make the same point of... I don't know. Yeah,
I've put research into it.
You made the same point about Pulisic.
I've put research. Pulisic is done because it was signed.
But my point is, my point is, no, you bought him and you've loaned him back.
I'm googling it.
You've bought Pulisic and loaned him back, but he will still have to re-register with you. He's registered with Dortmund right now. Like, because
he's
playing
for
Dortmund.
But
my point is, because you own him, it's fine.
Yeah.
Same with Higuain, I think. Like, in practice, because he's already at your club, if you're just extending an existing contract, then you don't have to re-register him and he stays at the club.
The issues
that's why he's going to be the one you sell.
The issues that I'm thinking, though, is that we then also have to pay money to AC Milan if we get him for another year.
I don't think that's an issue. Okay. I think that's
fine. Yeah, it might be absolutely fine.
Like, I think you get to keep Higuain.
But I agree with you in the fact that Batshuayi is the one that doesn't stay. We have Giroud, Higuain, and Tammy Abraham.
Which is weird because Batshuayi, I had to know now, he might only have one knee left. But I was going to say he's the one who probably has the highest ceiling. But
Well, Tammy's done decent in the championship.
I love Tammy, but I mean, is Tammy going to start for you up front?
So according
are you going to have a front line? After a front line this year of like Willian and Pedro and ancient people, next year is it going to be Pulisic, Hudson-Odoi and Tammy Abraham?
No, because Hazard's going to leave and it's going to be Higuain, Willian and Pedro. Equally, I've just read the article here and it says Higuain is not an 18-month loan deal. It is an extension. So technically, Higuain's loan comes to an end at the end of the current campaign and the Blues would not be able to register him with the Premier League again.
Can we not do it
they
earlier?
They would have to re-register him with the Premier League.
Well, in that case, you should keep Batshuayi and have Tammy, Batshuayi and you should extend Giroud.
But yeah, I'm a bit confused. There's no guarantee. I don't know how reliable this source is either. So
you should
I'm
extend Giroud now then, and your three strikers should be Tammy, Batshuayi and Giroud, and your wingers should be all the old fucks you've got, plus Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi.
And those two start. He won't leave.
They'll just say no.
Yeah.
Kick up a fuss.
He's got another.
Yeah, but so what? They'll just say no.
Yeah. Same with Hazard.
Is there one year left in his deal?
And if he pays, shut up.
His deal is over in 2020.
Oh my God, I thought he... I have... Oh yeah. Wow.
So imagine if they lose Hazard and Hudson-Odoi.
But Hudson-Odoi is going to be on a free.
But isn't that... Yeah, but isn't... Their attitude to this is going to be like every time De Gea was going to leave United, right? He kicks up a fuss, he acts like a little bitch, and then a couple of months into the season, you offer him a big pay rise, and you give it... And he's playing every game, and he says, you know what? I'll stay. Yeah. And Hudson-Odoi wants to leave at the moment because he's not playing. But if next season... He starts getting game time. He will stop. He will stop.
I mean, he's
being
just,
in a
he's just started two. He's just started two games in a row, and although
and you've been good in those games.
Yeah, we've been fantastic.
Right,
in this
right.
game.
Let's not go forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
fine.
But
fine.
We'll see. Okay, we'll see what he starts on Liverpool.
Giroud,
well.
We're saying should get a renewal at the Bridge.
I would renew.
If not, West Ham.
Any to club in London, take him.
Yeah. Okay. Fair play. Jalab, what are you saying?
We're going for a fellow Algerian over on my side.
Okay.
Oh God.
Yassine Brahimi, who is linked away from Porto every year he's been there.
It's been a bad year for Algerian footballers, I think. Mahrez. Terrible.
Bentaleb.
Terrible.
Bentaleb can't play with Schalke.
Awful. Like, what a dreadful year.
Hasn't been a good year. There must have been some positives.
Nabil Fekir didn't get his move.
Goulam's back.
Goulam out injured.
Algerians hate Fekir. Hate him.
Yeah, because he said he was going to represent France instead.
Hate him. Goulam's back. I'm trying to think of a decent centre.
You know what? We can move on. It's fine.
Exactly. Slimani?
Wow, he did well. At
anyway,
Yassi.
Yes. So he's now 29 years old, just recently turned. A lot older than I thought he was.
Jeez.
I know.
Do you remember when he was going to go to United?
I don't remember him. I feel like I've never heard this guy.
Okay.
He's just
so
bald.
You will remember,
he's really
you will
bald.
Remember this. Usually he plays
like
on the left wing.
He's never had hair.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Usually he plays on the left wing and can play at CAM. And he was brought up through PSG's academy. So a little nugget for you. And give you a bit of info, Joe. He's great at dribbling. Terrible at defending. So,
is he great at dribbling?
Is he great at
dribbling in Portugal?
Very true, very true. Now, he joined Porto in 2014 for €6.5 million after a great World Cup in Brazil. You'll remember him from that. Remember when Algeria had a sick one and should have beat Germany?
Nah, I don't remember. Not really.
What?
I literally don't remember who
Are
this guy
joking?
Is.
Are you joking?
Is he a real player?
Just imagine Slimani.
He was so Slimani's good fan. In that World Cup.
You'd recognise Yassine Brahimi.
I'm Googling him.
Googling him. Yeah.
He was going to go to Arsenal. He was going I swear he was linked with like Bayern one year as well. Like he used to have average seasons in Portugal and get absolutely insane transfer rates.
He was very
Nico
good.
Nico Gaitán.
He was very good in that game, especially against Germany when we
I literally don't remember this guy. I'm looking at photos of him. I just don't recognise him. Carry on.
Anyway. he's been linked to a lot of clubs over his career. The big issue, though, is he's third party owned.
Well, that's him done that.
Oh God.
Yeah, which has caused so many issues. 2 days after Porto bought him, they sold 80% of him to a third party.
Great signs.
What? Like it's ridiculous. Which has ruined his moves over because anytime he's looked to leave Portugal, other clubs have gone, we're not dealing with your third party
because
yeah,
like,
they want
too
much money.
Why would you? Why would
exactly.
you?
You're going to have to be a star.
Exactly.
You have to be so good to make clubs go through the third party ownership.
This is the William Carvalho issue. This yeah. is why he never got a big move to a major
he's,
top
he's
four
just
club.
Terrible, though,
I know.
He's very, just rubbish. Yeah. Just a big cart horse lumbering
been
about.
He's been better. No he's idea. Actually been okay at Batiste when I was looking at them earlier.
Yeah, has he?
Anyway, it's now.
He's never run in his life.
It's now 50%, so a little bit easier. But it still makes transfer outside of Portugal quite hard because
they bought back 30% of him.
They bought back 30% of him because
cool.
they thought. They were
wow, what a vote of confidence!
Literally.
The trouble is with third party contracts, if you want to sign Raheem, yeah, you have to go and agree a fee with Porto.
Yeah.
So say you agree a £50 million fee, and they own 10%. So they yeah. get their the deal on the paper for them is €5 million. The agent, the third party, can go, I don't agree to that. You then have to renegotiate the whole deal back.
Hang
up.
On, but surely you don't, though, because his contract expires this summer.
Exactly.
So his contract expires with Porto and with the third party ownership, right? And then he's just like, he's a whole man again.
No, but
he's
no
longer.
No, the contract just with the club will expire this summer. So he'll still
they've sold his rights to the third party.
So he's not going on a free.
You're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, I know, but they'll sell his rights. Like, they don't sell them in perpetuity. They'll sell them for a duration,
yeah.
right?
I don't know.
I think they sold...
What, like, so he just is theirs
yeah,
forever?
His economic rights is how it was worded. So I was
I'd be
like,
intrigued to know what that is, because I think you'd still sign that on, like, a 4 or 5 year basis.
I'll be honest as well. Like, I kind of felt if you were to buy him, you wouldn't have to spend more than, like, €8 million max.
Oh, great.
Max.
But
who's getting him?
He's 29.
Exactly. Like the best.
I mean, his stats again is in the Portuguese league are very good. He's taking 2 shots per 90. He completed 3.8 dribbles a game.
I mean, that is good.
Though he is attempting 6 still.
That's actually not bad. I don't think. Yeah, if he's competing 3.8 out of 6, that's very good.
Yeah, it's 75%.
But that's what he's always been. He's always been 60 something.
65%.
Anyway, he's also creating 1.3 chances as well per 90.
Oh,
so he's okay. And even though I said he's not great defensively, he's doing 1.5 tackles in his extras per 90. So not amazing, but okay. Especially when you're playing on the left wing.
But who needs this guy, man?
That's
every decent club at the moment is stocked for wing talent.
Well, a lot of clubs have been looking at him.
Is he coming to Arsenal?
Porto did offer him a €41,000 contract.
Take it.
€41,000 a week.
Yeah,
is that good for Portugal? That sounds like it'd be quite.
Take it.
It is very good. He'll be their highest paid player in Porto, but he's still.
Bloody hell.
I think what he wants is a move away because he's been wanting a move away.
Say.
However,
no,
he wants another challenge in another European country. But it's this third.
Was he going to go to Turkey?
He might give it.
You know, I always get confused between Brahimi and Talisca. Because Talisca as well, they were like, Talisca's amazing. He's also going to Man United and Bayern Munich. And then he went to like Fenerbahce or Galatasaray or something. And I was like, what a talent.
He was the winger at Benfica who was linked like for 15 seasons.
Nico Gaitan.
Nico Gaitan.
Then he went,
Jesus.
Is he there?
Zenit?
Where is he now?
He went to Atleti, didn't he, Nico Gaitan?
Yeah, but
where is he now?
God,
Jesus. He's not still at Atleti, surely.
I'll Google it for my fifth time today.
Whoever said Zenit just now, it feels like
yeah,
it has,
I feel like I said, yeah, Zenit?
That feels like it has truth in it. It has the mouth feel of truth.
Nico Gaitan is currently playing his football at Chicago Fire.
Oh my god.
Is it Chicago Fire a TV show?
Before that, he left Atletico Madrid after 29 appearances in 2 seasons
god.
For Dalian Yifang.
Okay. So
the Dalian boys.
A brief Chinese sojourn ending up in Chicago.
Almost as if Dalian had part ownership in Atletico Madrid for 2 seasons.
Okay, so West Ham are looking into him. Everton are looking into him. Wolves are looking into him. Watford are looking into him.
Everton? Everton don't need any players.
I know.
Need to sell 10 players.
Yeah. It's mental. When I saw that, I was like, that's definitely not happening.
And Wolves as well. Like, Wolves,
Arsenal?
He'd be fucking lucky.
Arsenal were also there, and I was like, that's not happening.
No.
And
we're not
one Serie A club. Which one do you think it is?
AC Milan.
Oh, let me guess. Oh, who's stupid?
It's Inter.
Inter Milan.
It's always
Inter. So yeah, literally, when I looked at Everton, my notes here says too many wingers, and that's it. And I've
too
left
many
it.
Wingers. They have got bare wingers.
There's no point. Lookman, Walcott, Richarlison can play there.
Bernard.
That's 4 from the off. Watford. I was actually a bit more like possible. He can play attacking mid, so I thought Perea.
Do they really need him with Jardel Feo Perea there?
I mean, if you pay £8 million.
It doesn't matter. They only get players from Udinese. Also, just to be clear, Watford have two players on loan this season. One is called Dodi Lukebakio, which is a
great
pretty
name.
Sick name.
Lovely.
He is playing in the Bundesliga. And they've got another kid as well, who I swear is playing in, like, maybe Spain. These two guys on loan have both got so many goals between them. Like, both their two best strikers are out on loan. By the way, they still own Stefano Akaka, like, whatever he's doing.
Really?
Yeah, so Lukebakio has got 8 goals in the Bundesliga this season and looks incredible. And then the other guy's name, is it Cucho Hernandez, who's got like 19 or something? I don't know. Like they've got so many young strikers. Yeah. Honestly, sometimes go through Watford's like players who are out on loan, and it's just like it's like Scrabble because the names are mental. Apart from Ben Wilmot, who's
I think
Grissini
is going to get backing as well this summer. He's going to get pretty decent backing.
Yeah, and so he should because like.
Well, Perea, in my opinion,
manager of the year.
Manager of the year is actually a very good shout for him. But in terms of Perea, he's only a year younger. And I thought, hey, Brahimi's getting a goal or assist every other game at Porto at the moment. It's not the worst thing to do. £8 million, not too bad. I also thought West Ham.
No, man, they definitely don't need another left winger with Felipe Anderson.
Well, just dumping all our shit on West
Ham.
Because
that's what they do. Because that's what they do. Because especially if, say, Yarmolenko, who's out on long-term injury, and say they do lose one of the... what's his face? Arnautovic. They need another forward-attacking player.
Right, no, here. But this is why they've bought Sami Nasrin. They've also had
Lanzini, and he trained at half time and got injured.
Yes, but they've also brought Lanzini back from injury successfully in the last
and
2 weeks.
And he'll have another injury
they've
in
got
like 2 weeks.
Yarmolenko, Nasri,
Yarmolenko,
Lanzini,
injured.
Felipe Anderson. They're not going to bring in another wide
for £8 million. Why not?
Because they're West Ham. They don't need him.
Exactly.
Is he better than Yarmolenko
have
or Lucas Perez? Probably not.
Have they needed any of these players that they've bought? No.
I mean, they needed Felipe Anderson.
Yes, but the others, they didn't.
I don't think
he'll
go to a club at West Ham. Way too punchy.
West Ham 3 years ago, I would be absolutely right there with you. But right now, West Ham have got bigger fish to fry.
They're not the ones I thought that'll get him. I looked at Wolves. Not happening.
No way.
That's just because he's playing in Portugal.
Exactly.
Literally because he's playing in Portugal.
The only one that I could really go, okay, maybe, and maybe they even bother with the third-party stuff, is Inter.
Inter don't think he's going to get the move he thinks he's going to get, man.
Well,
I
think
don't.
The reason I looked at this though was that Perisic seems to be off. And if they fail to get Politano, if they fail to secure his move, he's not the worst player to bring in. He can play on the right or the left.
So much attacking talent.
Why wouldn't you just go and get like someone like Malcolm though instead? Like, I mean, they've got Keita, who's great. They've got Lautaro Martinez, who's great. They're also going to sell Icardi, which means they're going to have so much money that they can actually buy good players, not some bald shithouse from Portugal.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going to do that.
I just think he's a really good... I don't think he's got that much risk with
this
him.
This is the Algerian in you talking, bro.
He's
I'm telling you, he's going to stay at Porto.
And you can get him for about £8 million.
Nobody's going to offer him more than 40,000 euros a week.
If he's lucky, Liga.
I think he'll take 4 euros a week. 40,000.
I think he'll
to
stay
get out of Portugal.
I'm sure he'd take 40,000. I'm not paying him 40,000 euros a week.
Yeah, I think he'll stay at Porto. I'd be very surprised if I see Brahimi in the Premier League or any other top five league. The start of
it's the third party stuff.
Unless some club gets promoted,
the third party stuff has ruined it.
I'd agree. My next one, I don't have. I've got a best of the rest. So do you want to jump in, Pat?
Okay, so I'm going to do a quick Ander Herrera.
We'll finish with out of contract bingo at the end.
Okay, because I wanted your input on Ander Herrera.
Okay,
anyway,
here we go.
Ander Herrera is not even 30 yet, which is quite amazing. He's been at United for 5 years. Still only has 2 caps for Spain, which I think is funny because it's like it's just enough to be an insult. You know, like if he'd never been capped, he could be like, well, I was just overlooked. It was personal. But he got to play twice and they didn't invite him back.
Also, I mean, he has been unfortunate to be behind arguably the best roster of central midfield talent the world's ever seen.
Yeah, true. But I mean, Santi Cazorla's got like 60 caps for Spain. Yeah,
that would have been one. That would have been one.
This is Ander Herrera.
He's the greatest player ever.
That would have been one call-up as well, where they just played 2 games.
Yeah. I think it might be separate.
Oh, okay.
Because for a long time he was one cap, Ander Herrera. Also, my other question about Ander Herrera, which I've had since he was at Athletic Bilbao, does anyone believe that he's 6 foot tall? Because they say he is, but he's not. He's 5'4". He's 5'4".
You're saying Ander Herrera is taller than Joe Tomlinson?
He's 5'4" if he's an inch.
He's about my height, man, I reckon.
He's 6 feet tall, apparently.
That's balls.
No, but that's
about half an inch off 6 foot.
He's big.
I reckon you're taller than him, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon so too, because so sure, he looks man. Tiny. His head's so big.
6 foot.
So sure. He's like Valbuena. His head is massive. Yeah. He's like Milad. Anyway, like he's I've just never really believed that. But I think his progression at Man United has been fascinating, because when he arrived, he was like, oh, he's going to be like the new Scholes. Like, he's just going to like box to box, ping in passes. And to be honest, he can still ping a pass, but he's basically a DM now. He's just a terrier. He's a destroyer. He's never played under 30 games in a season for United, so
but
he has been pretty
equally,
reliable.
Only one season in our last 5 seasons, so since he joined, has he been in the top 10 starters list. So he gets a lot of minutes late in games and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good squad player.
Yeah,
but he's also not a guy you kind of seek out like for your team. I understand that, but I think actually he's had a really good season this year when he's played. He's still got relatively limited minutes, like about 1,200 or something.
Is that a massive upturn under Ole?
Under only three players that I could find have made over 6 tackles and interceptions per 90 in the Prem this year, and they are Idrissa Gueye, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, of course, and Ander Herrera. Which I think is pretty impressive. He's also got 5 goal contributions in just under 1,300 minutes. Loses the ball once every 2 games, so he's very secure.
That
is good. Has an 87% pass sack, and his pass sack in the Champions League is 95%.
But the problem with Ander, as ever, cannot be quantified by statistics. Because there is no statistic that tells you how often out of position he is. He is constantly in the wrong area.
Can he be more out of position than Nemanja Matic, who's been so bad?
Yes.
I'm sorry, why is Matic defended? Is it because he's on the ball,
Matic isn't really defended. I would happily get rid of Matic.
People said he had a good season last year. I read something the other day that was like, well, he had a fantastic season last year. And I was like, he was fucking fine.
But Nemanja Matic, right... I will agree with you, not mobile enough off the ball. He's fine on the ball, but
he's
not mobile enough off
the ball
to occupy a top 6 defensive midfield role. And Herrera spends about 30% of the game as a left winger when he's playing as a defensive midfielder. He's out flying into Paul Pogba's areas. He's out flying into Jesse Lingard's areas as a central midfielder.
He's a chaser.
Nemanja is then suddenly already as slow as humanly possible, trying to cover 2 roles.
He gets sucked in a bit.
A bit.
So he does go running about.
Oh my God, this is like when you throw a tennis ball in front of a Jack Russell. It don't matter whether there's a car coming, he's still running into it.
Well, interestingly enough, we'll see whether he has some sort of positional discipline next season, because it looks like he's going to PSG on a free.
Yeah, but equally, they're paying him so much money.
They're paying him like 200k
a week. He's on 80k a week at the moment.
He's not even on 100.
He's on 80k a week.
I've read different reports. He's somewhere between 80 and 100. Yeah.
Who was it? Was it him who was on the contract that where his wage dropped every season? Somebody was signed on that contract, and I was like, "What?"
Let's
agent
have it,
has agreed
let's have
this
it right. United have offered him 180k, and he's rejected it.
Jesus,
what is he doing?
He should definitely. Well,
why wouldn't
take
he
that.
Like PSG have offered him 200?
Oh, fair play. Yeah, PSG.
Yeah, but if somebody offered me 180k, and I was Ander Herrera, I'd be like.
Yeah, but PSG, 200 guaranteed league titles and a walk in the park.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, I don't know. It depends how long the contract is, to be honest. I mean, if I'm PSG, I don't give him more than two years.
Oh, he'll get more than 2 years at PSG for sure.
There's no way I would, though, if I were PSG. Like, I think that's crazy. I mean, certainly as well. We've already talked about Rabiot going. I definitely put on a major charm offensive to keep Lo Celso at the club.
Bro, this is a team that just offered €40 million for Idrissa Gueye.
Yeah, that was mental. Like, but I would definitely rather pay Ander Herrera 200k a week for a couple of years than buy Idrissa Gueye for 40 mil and then pay him a ton of money as well.
So here's my thoughts on Ander Herrera from a Manchester United fan's perspective. Okay. I tweeted this out the other day. I really like Ander Herrera's defensive output, and I think he's clearly
got an eye for a big goal.
Do you know what? He's clearly Ander Herrera, passionate about the club. Like he. Days behind after training to watch under 18s games. You know, if there's a player in our team that you could go represents Manchester United really well as a player on and off the field, you would say Ander Herrera. He's super professional, super fit, always plays through injury for the club, which some players at Manchester United do not do. Oh, I've had a bruised toe. I'm not playing for 3 weeks. Get back on the pitch. You never see that of Ander. But there are 100% upgrades in the market for a player on 200 grand a week midfield, man. And that do not profile at 30 years of age in 5 months.
If I'm United, I do not give him a new contract. Yeah, like, unless he's going to accept a new contract on about 60k.
I remember when we, at the start of the season, we did How to Fix Manchester United, and I said in that podcast, Herrera and Mata I would allow to leave in the summer, and my thoughts just have not changed. Neither of them have done anything this season that has made me think, I've got to keep them. Like, Ander Herrera has had an upturn. Yes, a definite, clear upturn under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and has been one of our better players since he's taken over. But that is not to say you can't improve him. Yeah. Paul Pogba has way too much pressure on his shoulders of progressing the ball from deep. Consistently, every game, it all goes through Paul.
Yeah.
Because Ander Herrera and Nemanja Matic are not good enough at doing it at the moment.
Yeah.
They're not good enough on the ball. And as good as Ander Herrera is off the ball, and yes, he bites into tackles and he leads from the front and he's clearly good in a pressing system, he can be upgraded on.
Yeah.
Let him go, take the 200 grand a week he wants and offer it to Tanguy Ndombele or somebody in that other mould that can support Paul Pogba's output.
Yeah, and also you're spending a non-homegrown slot on him.
Yeah.
Like, so why not just spend that better?
My issue is that we let him go, we bring in Declan Rice, and I just can see it happening and I just don't want it to happen.
I mean, I'd probably rather have Declan Rice in my squad long term.
But would you at 60, like 50 million euros?
I don't want to bring him in where he has to play immediately every game. Which for a club like Man United, especially if you're in the Champions League.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for a battering.
Yeah. But either way, I'm sorry to the United fans listening, but I would let Ander Herrera go. I think he's just asking for too much money.
I'm not that mad about it, though, for PSG. Like, partially because it's PSG, fine, they don't care about money.
Mm.
They have Paredes and Verratti.
They're looking for a Rabiot replacement that can do a bit of defensive work.
Yeah, because they've been playing Marquinhos there this season. Yeah. And I think, like, if you can move Marquinhos into the back line, you don't have to go out and spend big for a Thiago Silva replacement.
And also,
plus, they need to buy fullbacks.
Yeah.
They need a better goalkeeper. They probably, in the long term, need a third attacker to go there along with Neymar and Mbappe. That's assuming Neymar doesn't go.
And also, they were very clearly after Idrissa Gueye. And if you're going to pay 40 million euros for Idrissa Gueye, why not pay zero and get a slightly worse defensive output, but potentially better in a press in Ander Herrera?
And he probably can be moulded. Like, I'd say as well that United, outside of LVG, which actually was when Herrera was at his best, probably, like, outside of LVG, you haven't had coaches who are going to get your defensive midfielder and say, this is how you play defensive midfield.
Tuchel will do that.
Tuchel will do that. Yeah. And I think that could work quite well. And that will also free up Verratti, potentially Lo Celso, and Paredes to be a bit more attacking. So if I'm PSG, I think I need to go and buy two top quality fullbacks. I maybe want a goalkeeper, though Ariola has been very good, but I still want a goalkeeper, probably.
Yeah, you're going to get one.
And I think probably if Man United are going to go for someone like Jadon Sancho, fuck it, I'm going to go for Jadon Sancho as well. I'm PSG.
They are going to go for Jadon Sancho.
Yeah,
sure,
so in that case, like, I think they should go and do that and then just say, you know what, Herrera comes in for free, gives us 2 years, and then we fuck him off.
I agree. Yeah, okay, fair so play. Ander Herrera, we probably think is going to end up at PSG in the summer. Jalab, who's your last player?
Diego Godin.
Oh, God. Well, this is done and dusted, though.
Well, is it? Yes, it is. he's now 33. He's been playing at Atletico for
years. 33 for 6 years.
He looks so much old. When he was 27, he looked like he was 33. And now he's finally caught up with him. He's been playing at Atleti for 9 years. He's won a lot of trophies there.
Yeah.
And to be fair to him,
not
considering
as many as he could have.
Two Champions League finals, fair play. If only he could have won one of them.
Yeah.
But over, to be fair to him, he's played a lot of minutes throughout his career. In 2014, he played three. This is just in the league, by the way, in the Liga. He played 3,000 minutes. In 2016, 2,700. Last season, 2,500. This season, at the moment, is 1900.
So it's going to be drop on drop.
It has gone down season.
But he's suffered injuries this season. He started 22 games this season.
Yeah, that's exactly the concern.
Exactly.
He's going to start getting injured.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because to play in a Diego Simeone squad, you need to be 100% fit.
My problem is to lose Lucas Hernandez and Diego Godin in the same summer, a summer where centre-backs are of high priority for three clubs. Including the likes of Manchester United, who are going to outspend you. Potentially PSG if they look for the Thiago Silva replacement, and maybe even Juventus if they do let Barzagli go.
Mm-hmm. And even Arsenal and Spurs.
Mate,
these clubs.
I don't understand why Atleti have let him go. He's not on the most he's on 90k a week, which
I
is quite decent.
It's because they're going to go and pay Toby Alderweireld's 25 million euro and bring him back.
That could be it, but
wouldn't be the worst.
who's going to win between Toby Atletico and United?
Yeah, it's going to be United. Exactly. United
and
double.
Then they've already
Even
got
Liverpool
rid of
or City.
They've got
I'd pay that for him.
They've got Bring rid it. Of one of their best defender in or their best person to partner Jimenez. Because what, I don't understand why they've let Godin go and Hernandez go.
Where's Godin gone?
Time.
Explain where Godin's gone.
So Godin has gone to Inter Milan, which
when you say has gone, it's like so it's not, almost certain that it's happened.
He's passed his medical.
Yeah. His medical's done. I mean, it's not confirmed by Inter, well, but he's
confirmed by Dimarzio.
Yeah, Dimarzio, which basically means right. It's all good. And they'll probably confirm it the second the transfer window opens.
They must be paying him so much money because I have no idea why he'd do this.
Mate, what? It's such a weird move. They've already got a settled centre back pairing of De Vrij and Skriniar.
So the only thing I could think is that Skriniar is off. It's the only logical explanation because he's moving to a side where they've got two centre-backs that already play each game. And when they don't, Miranda's there. They've done a fine job.
But there is zero to fuck all chance that they sell Skriniar and Icardi in the same summer.
Yeah, that's true. Because like you take the Icardi money and you just say, sorry, Skriniar, how much you want? Stay in there.
The move doesn't make sense.
People are going to offer crazy money for Skriniar, though. He's one of the best centre-backs. Yeah. He feels like a sure thing as a young centre-back, which is quite rare.
I mean, there were reports this week that City had offered 80 million and Inter rejected it.
City had offered 80 million?
80 million.
Why does City need
just
to
leave
pay...
the centre-backs alone?
Why does City... Okay, City, just a brief digression on City. City squad is overrated to fuck. Like, City squad is so good in terms of loads of talent they have. But when they actually put a team on the pitch, you realise how thin some areas are. They're still in a Champions League game against Spurs, starting Delph. They're starting Fernandinho in every game. Like, they're still... Otamendi still getting decent minutes.
Otamendi was fantastic.
No,
I agree. But this is the point. Like, I think City have a lot of areas they need to work on. Mm. Like, except the attack. That's the only place where they're fine. But they do need to strengthen a bunch of areas. So why the fuck would they go and spend 80 mil on Skriniar? That is mental.
And it'll be more than that. It will be more than that.
Because Inter rejected it. Inter rejected it.
And they were there was talk of United spending over 100 on him. United are going to go for Koulibaly, all chips down. But it's Fair not going to be Skriniar. God. So I don't know where Skriniar goes unless he goes in the other direction.
To Atletico Madrid. Maybe they've spoken to each other and said, "Here, you can take this guy for free, and we'll."
But that literally defeats the object of a free transfer.
Yeah,
we're going to pick this guy up on a free transfer, and all it's going to cost us is our best defender.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. But like in terms of Godin playing in Italy, I was looking at the average like passing for a centre back in Serie A, and it is quite high. It's around the 60s, and Godin's only completing around 32 a game. However,
that's really low, man.
Is that not a stylistic thing, though?
Yeah, because Simeone does not defend with the ball. He just defends with throwing faces.
But this is it, because the thing that when I looked at Inter Milan is that Inter's is actually not as high as everyone else's either.
Yeah.
They're not in the 60s. Equally, they're more in the 45 to 50.
Equally, can any of us actually see Spalletti being there in the summer? I just cannot.
Jose.
I know, man. You know it's coming.
Mourinho.
If Spalletti finishes outside the Champions League spots, he's definitely gone.
I don't think he will finish outside.
He shouldn't, but this is Inter.
Yeah, okay, fair point.
But yeah, in terms of Godin in Serie A, I mean, we've seen a lot of older players absolutely kill it there. But Chiellini, he's now 34.
Yeah, Barzagli's 38.
Christ. Yeah, and they're still doing it week in, week out. It's mad.
Yeah, but I mean...
Not everybody can do it. Benucci is struggling.
Everyone. Like Juve, if he'd gone to Juve, which was the talk at one point, it was like 20 mil last summer, right, when he was linked to United as well. I think he would have been great. But I don't know, like going into a club where you're expected to sort out the defence.
Did anybody see Benucci at AC Milan? Not pretty.
Not pretty.
But okay, I understand why Inter are kind of doing it to a level if they're getting him on a free.
He just shouldn't leave Atletico.
Do you have any idea how much they're going to pay him? On how long the contract?
There wasn't any.
Because if he's going on like a 2-year contract for like 100k a week, I would happily take him at Arsenal. I'd take him at Spurs if Alderweireld's going.
But then I was looking at Spurs, and I don't think he'll be able to fit the same high pace like with Vertonghen covering the ground, and also being on the ball as much as they are.
What about in the middle of like a back three? That'd be fun.
What, between Sanchez and Vertonghen?
Yeah, Vertonghen's going as well, isn't he?
I think he's got another year.
Oh, great.
But I think
he's old as hell.
I think Alderweireld is probably going to go. I can. Yeah, Alderweireld available for 20 million euros for a month. That's going to be a chaos month for Tottenham. Poor old Daniel Levy's going to be like changing his number twice a day. Should we move on then to the best of the rest?
Yeah, let's do your bingo.
Right, let's do some quick bingo. I'm going to pop you, I don't know, five or six names. I just want quick fire answers as to where you think they're going to end up. And then what we'll do is come the end of the transfer window, we'll readdress them, or somebody can clip this out and readdress us. And okay. See how many we got right.
Okay.
I'm starting with David Luiz.
Contract extension.
Has he got one?
No, he's going.
That's going to be your answer.
That's my answer.
Contract extension, Zach Jalab says.
He extends.
I say Benfica.
I mean, I can also see it.
Nah.
Moving on, next one. We don't need too much discussion about these. Daniel Sturridge, Zach.
Oh, good God. Bournemouth or Burnley.
Oh, Bournemouth's a good shout, but they've got a good attack. Palace.
I'm sticking with my guns, West Ham.
Hector Herrera.
Oh, also Porto.
I like Hector Herrera.
Zach.
Inter.
Jesus.
I know they're looking at him as well, but they couldn't afford his wages. So
I think he'll go to a better side than that, you know? Sevilla.
I think Valencia.
Yeah.
Fair. Raphael. The Leon fullback, ex-Manchester United.
Wherever his brother is. Where's his brother?
God, Fabio's playing in Brazil again, I think. I'm not too sure.
No idea.
Qatar,
Pato.
God, who needs backup? Jesus. Everton.
Oh, okay.
God.
I'm Everton. Saying Arsenal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
George, are you joking?
George has just convinced you on this.
Are you being serious, George?
If we sign him on a free, if we go to Ligue 1 and we're like, right, we need a free right back and we go for him over Kwarteng, we're fucking idiots.
Okay. Damian.
Oh, Jesus. I actually Juve. Go to Damian as well. Juve, yeah. You reckon?
Go Serie A again.
Nah, Milan.
Juve. Yeah.
Really?
I think Juve. Iron Robin.
Nowhere. Retirement. Surely. Where's he going?
PSV.
Back to PSV. Yeah.
Back to PSV.
I think that's a good shout.
LAFC.
Not the worst shout in the world.
Vincent Kompany.
Are they definitely letting him go?
I tried to look into it. It's weird. Like, there's no reports of him not getting one, but there's no reports of him getting one. So everyone's just like,
feel like it might
what's going to happen?
Then. Let's assume it's not done.
Okay, assuming it's not done, let's go with won't want to play for another. I mean, I also thought Ferdinand wouldn't want to play for another Premier League side after United, and he went to QPR.
Okay.
To a promoted side, Leeds.
Jesus.
Norwich.
Pat-o.
Jesus. What a horrible shout. somewhere in Italy. Lazio.
New York City Football Club.
Player coach. Great shout. Either that or Australia.
And finally, Tony Valencia.
Oh, God.
I'm going...
MLS, pure MLS.
DC United.
Yeah, pure MLS. What, to play with Rooney again? Yeah, pure MLS.
Oh, I was going to say West Ham, but...
100% the MLS. If he doesn't go to the MLS, I'll be...
100% he's playing Wayne Rooney next season.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I'll go DC United as well. I think it's a fair shout.
Rooney's going to be desperately trying to get a handle on Pablo Hernandez. Yeah.
It's actually guaranteed. Valencia.
I'll give you that.
He's going to be getting skinned by Canadian.
Either DC or LA or Red Bulls.
So that was our summary of the free transfers that are available this coming summer. Let us know what you thought on Twitter and on Reddit. Get involved in the conversation on YouTube as well. We now move on to Zach, who is representing Facts with Rafa Benitez.
It's a fact. Facts.
Yes, I am taking your
Oh my God. Why did he lisp? He introed with a lisp.
I'm going to carry on.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to, you know, take the Rafa Benitez's accent.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I am taking on Facts. And these are all about my scars. Physical, not emotional. Otherwise, we could be here all day.
Okay. Okay, so you've got three stories about your emotional scars. Do you want to explain how
physical
scars?
Real physical scars.
Yes, I will explain how Facts works. I will bring three statements. One of them is the truth. Two of them are lies.
Okay,
that's
how
it works.
We must identify the truth.
Exactly. Yes. The first one. I have a scar on my hand from smashing a test tube in science.
Show me the scar.
Sure.
Show me.
Where am I looking?
He must have finger. Prepared this.
Middle finger. Okay, there is a scar there. Can confirm on the middle.
Correct. That is a scar.
The middle finger, halfway up.
On my left hand.
Interior side. Okay, and that was from smashing a test tube. Okay, smashing what's your next fact?
I'll get onto more of them later on when you question me. The second one is I have a scar on my right hand from climbing a fence in Algeria to get into a zoo.
Okay, show me the scar.
Ooh.
Can't see a scar there, but apparently there is one. Can you see a scar, Patrick? Yeah, okay, there is a scar
there's
there.
Something.
Third and finally.
Oh, God.
I have a scar on my leg,
fucking
on
hell.
My left leg, from when I got glass in it.
What kind of statement is that?
Story ever. Okay. The first one, you got glass in it as well, but from a test tube, this one, I got glass in it.
From when I got glass in it after I fell off my bike.
Just made that up. Just absolutely just made that up.
I'm going to be honest.
It's the first one.
It's the first one.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like it's definitely...
you want to question me?
Is that being an oaf in like some science
Okay,
class?
So the first one, science class, what science was it?
Yeah.
It was... Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's not going to be in biology? Physics, is it?
Biology? It wasn't chemistry.
No. All I remember is we went outside.
What year was this in, sorry?
Oh, eight, nine? Year eight or nine? Yeah. We went outside.
Name your science teacher.
Mrs. Green, I think.
Could be anything. It's like a Cluedo name.
Jesus Christ. We went outside and we were doing something. But all I remember, there was a bung in the test tube. Okay. And I was pulling it out. Yeah. And for some reason, as I pulled it out, the test tube...
What do you mean, for some reason? Because you've got weird grip strength.
No, listen. As I pulled it out, the test tube smashed and it cut my finger here.
Yeah, sorry, so not for some reason. You crushed the test tube in your hands because you're an oaf.
Like Andre the Giant, you crushed it.
No, I didn't. It was when I pulled it out.
Yeah, because you're freakishly big and I can imagine you doing this.
All right.
I've seen you take the cap off a beer before and this shit happened to you.
I do have, my skin is like a peach.
Okay, so you just crushed it in your big oafy mitt.
Essentially, and then the skin
how did
was
you
just
react?
Flapping.
You just like,
Oh my God! No, it wasn't that. I was more worried about the teacher moaning at me for breaking a test tube. My hand was bleeding the fuck, and it was like flicking about like this.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, I can nearly see my bone.
Could you actually nearly see your bone?
Nah, probably not.
It doesn't look like it.
But I basically pushed in the skin and just kind of like held it there, put a plaster on it, and it healed itself.
Okay, great. Next story.
Next one.
Name the zoo.
Oh God, I can't do that. I really can't do that.
So you're climbing into the zoo.
So outside my house in Algeria,
there's a zoo.
There's a fence which.
Beyond which is
the zoo.
Okay.
And something my uncle's
pedant
and we like to do was we would go to the zoo when it was closed and
That seems like such a dangerous thing to do.
I know.
That's how a story on the BBC News website starts, where it says like German man killed by gorilla. Because he climbed into the zoo after
but
night
it
with his uncle.
But it also sounds like the start of every talking animal film.
And that's when I met an iguana who told me my future was an FD.
This is the film Madagascar, starring Zach Jelleb.
Basically, as we had to climb over this fence to get in there, and I scratched my hand, and it resulted in that scar. Great time in the zoo because it wasn't leading into an animal enclosure, it leaded just past the entrance where you walked through to the rest of the zoo.
Okay, so you climbed over. Is there any CCTV?
No, it's Algeria, bro.
So you went into the zoo, an Algerian zoo,
just
bleeding
hours.
Freely.
Oh no, it wasn't really that bad bleeding. As I said, my skin's like paper.
Were you worried about the predators in the zoo?
Oh, I didn't smell my blood.
What were the best predators in the zoo?
What was in the zoo?
What sort of zoo is it?
There's a lion that roars in the morning. And you can hear it wakes you up.
How close is your house to this zoo?
Next door.
Mate, a lion is...
But why are you living so close to a zoo?
How much does it
it's
cost
Algeria,
to get...
bro.
Sorry, so is the appeal to not pay or just to go in after dark when no one's
going
there?
After dark. Yeah.
So you go in...
Undercover, balaclava.
Yeah, to be honest, a lot of the animals...
you can't really see the animals.
Yeah, a lot of the animals are just...
asleep.
Yeah, asleep.
As they do.
It'd just be something like what me and my cousins and uncles did.
Is it a good zoo?
No.
Out of five?
Two. A lot of the animals look underfed.
Yeah,
Okay, so
that checks out.
The third story, which is blatantly a lie, okay. I got glass in my leg. How'd you do it? Fell off a bike. Go on then, tell us this story.
Okay. So the third story was I had just watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You've been working on this one.
The classic, the classic version.
All right, that's what I was about to say. This is recent.
At my nan's on VHS. And for some weird reason, I I'd finished it and thought, I'm going to pretend to be the pizza boy from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
How old were you?
Must have been like 8. I was in year 3. So, whatever. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to be the pizza boy from. So, I was at my nan's. My mum was at home. I was at my nan's the weekend or whatever. And yeah. My mum, mm-hmm. I needed a bike to be a pizza boy.
Yeah.
So, the only one that was there was my mum's old bike with the tyres like that were tiny, thin, and like a racer's bike.
Sick.
And. You're an idiot. And so what I did, I pretended on this bike outside of my nan's like back bit, not a garden, it was like
a zoo.
Where a zoo. It's where like cars would park up. Essentially like a garage away from your house.
Yeah. Okay.
And this yeah. But being from my
this
nan's
area.
This is so long winded, bro.
All right,
just be like I was on a bike okay. and anyway, I hit a curb right. and fell off.
So I was on the bike and I fell and I got glass on my leg because where my nan's area is, it's a bit rough. A lot of glasses has been smashed on the
glass.
Floor.
Right, that's bullshit. Right, so is it A or is it B? Is it A or B? What are you saying?
I mean...
Do you know what's going to happen though? He's going to deliberately change it now. We should get people to write down beforehand what the answer is because we have no way of checking. So Jalab now, out of spite for us laughing at number 3, we'll just be like, yeah, it's number 3.
I don't know. Right, that one had so much detail that it became so implausible. But on the other hand, I could imagine Zach sitting here beforehand and being like, I'm going to fool them. But he didn't, I don't think. It's got to be the test tube, right? As soon as he said the test tube one, I was like, this rings a bell.
Yeah, the test tube.
But maybe that's just because it
but
happened
equally,
often at school.
The zoo thing, like, I can imagine Jalab spending a lot of time with his cousins.
Yeah, but I also think he's just playing up to the fact that we will have a racist idea of Algeria. Where we're like, yeah, you just jump a fence and go into the zoo.
Like, I'm making that sounds like that's a fucking legit how
the
you
first
do
time
it.
I did that, though, I'd be like, this is shit, because all the animals are asleep.
We did it several times. Like we went during the day, never got caught.
Wow!
You go you're there up. Now, though. Right, you go right. there now, though. The fence has been
shot. Off
been
the
re-put up.
Wow!
So like one guy got in here, left blood on lions.
I think it's A. Okay, we're gonna stick with A, please. Jalab, lock that in. Look at his smug little face. He's gonna say C.
I am gonna say C.
Yeah,
oh
bullshit.
My God.
Absolute bullshit. I'm claiming bullshit.
I promise
on
you,
that.
Bro. I promise you, because no, after man. That, my nan, my leg was bleeding so badly. My nan.
Your statement was, I got glass in my leg.
Yeah, I just forgot to add the bit where off falling off my bike. Yeah, my nan was
I'm not
my,
having it.
What do you mean?
You know what? This is like when Rafa comes out after a shit result and goes, "I've had no money to spend."
Bro, also...
Excuses, what a guard crook says.
Excuses,
he
excuses,
his own
excuses.
No, also, B, I did do that, I just never got a scar. We did that, I just never got a scar from it.
I mean, it's tenuous, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. What do you mean? Tenuous. What do you mean?
This okay. is shot. I mean, that was a shambles. Do you believe Zach Jalab's facts
there? I will
there?
Literally show you guys a scar.
Let us know. I'm fine to believe
I've seen
that
scars.
You've got a scar, but I don't know how you got it, do I? Either way, let us know if you believe Zach
reports.
Jalab on
glass,
Twitter.
Which I've kept in
if
the cabinet.
You think Zach Jalab is a liar, use the hashtag ZachLied on Twitter and tweet it to us on Sunday if you can. That's pretty much it. For this week's episode of Sunday Vibes Extra Time. Thanks very much for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.